Anyway, I want to say Shabbat Shalom to everyone. Let me lower this thing. It's a little loud. Okay, and I'll put up the study. And let's see. There it is. Well, thank you for being here today. We are one Messiah congregation, Kahal Chabah Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God, and Shabbat Shalom. And it's very nice to be here. And, it, you know, it's so... I always feel like it's surreal, you know, when I... Here we are sitting here, you know, nice and relaxed and, you know, going to praise and thank the God of Israel, thank Yah for everything he's done for us. And other people right now, their lives have totally changed, you know, due to this terrorism that's going on in America and all these people that got killed the other day in California. You know, there's 14 dead and there's over 20-something people seriously injured and their lives have totally changed for the rest of their life, you know, and just to think about that, it's like surreal, you know what I mean? It's because you hear about it, you look at, you know, you watch videos on the net and you read the news, but it's not personal. So you can't really feel it, even though you could understand what's going on. Just like the atrocity that happened a few weeks ago in France and all those other people, the terrorism. Matter of fact, I'm making a list of all the terrorism that's happened in America by Muslims. And a lot of people don't want to just admit that, but that's exactly what it is. And, you know, it's really a shame. It's like the average person here in America, we're not against Muslims. But when you look at all the atrocities and all the deaths that's caused, it's all caused by radical Islam. You know, and that's just the truth, you know. However, here we are on the Sabbath. Let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this Shabbat. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, I thank and praise you for forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Messiah. And I just thank God for everything you've done for us and things we're not even aware of. Things you've let us not get involved in, maybe even stopped us from dying different times and different situations and avoided things that we're not even aware of. You helped us in many situations I know we're not even aware of. I pray today you'll bless and anoint this Shabbat, bless the study, bless everyone here, put a wall of fire around and about them, caution them from any evil. I pray you'll protect them, encamp your angels round and about us, knowing that you're the living God, and there's none else, and that we talk to you and knowing you hear us. Bless and anoint the study. Make it fruitful. Teach us something new. Take away anything that's incorrect out of our minds, hearts, and souls. And let us just yearn for the truth, Father. I thank and praise you for another Shabbat. And may you let us live on to as long as you want, to 500 years old if you want. And I thank God for the blood of Yeshua and the word of God. And may God be with you today. And may the Ruach, the Holy Spirit of God, be right with you and lead, guide, and direct you in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Shabbat Shalom. Well, here we are on December 5th. We're another Gregorian month. And December, everyone should know, Deca means 10. However, it's the 12th month in Pope Gregory's calendar, and just to show you how rulers change everything, I remember Deca, December had 30 days until this other ruler called Numa, and then when it had 29 days, and then until Julius changed it to 31 days long, and that's what we have right today, right?
We
have 31 days long. It used to be 30 and then 29, and some other ruler changed it. And however, God has his own calendar. We're in the 22nd day of Kislev, the ninth month of God.
the real
month of God, Kislev, and that's found in Zechariah chapter 7, verse 1. And it's nice to know God has his own calendar that has been deleted, has been erased, you know? And I keep getting emails from people and about Hanukkah and about Christmas. And I got so many emails I had to delete recently from Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And all this kind of stuff. And The only thing good about these pagan holidays, you can get yourself a discount. you could use these holidays for yourself and get discounts, and that's the only thing I suggest. We didn't do any of those. I would caution everyone, make sure you really, probably it's not a good time to really travel on big time, traveling trips, and also be away from crowds. I wouldn't be around crowds, because crowds, that's exactly what they're looking for. My ministry is a teaching ministry. I bring up topics that have never been discussed or mentioned in your life, and I like to undelete some of these things that have been covered up and they're hidden. Most people don't even know, they have an idea they're even missing, like God's calendar, God's Sabbath. All my studies are going to be back on my website, Lord willing, on the 8th, December 8th, Lord willing. And the server should be up. Like I said earlier, we're going to connect the server, Lord willing, on December 8th, Tuesday. And pray for us, too, that we get a building that's a little more decent, that we could actually have a service. And because there's so many people now wanting to visit us out there in this new place we're at. And all these websites will be back up. Anyway, today's subject is don't underestimate Satan. Okay? And I don't know, this sort of popped into my mind because of, I guess, all the terrorism that's going on and just many things that may happen in your life. So anyway, I was noticing in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1, Satan has the audacity. Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Mm-hmm. And you know everything that happened after that.
Mm-hmm.
That was very terrible. You know, God doesn't need you to number anybody when he's with you. Because if there's just you and there's a whole 25 armies coming after you, they still lose.
Yeah.
Anyway. In the book of Gospel of Mark, we read in chapter 1, verse 13, here we have Yeshua was even in the wilderness 40 days tempted of Satan. And, you know, it's such an interesting thing. If you don't think the devil doesn't try to tempt you, because if he tempt the Messiah, I'm sure he'll try to tempt you. And it was with Yeshua was with the wild, and it was with the wild beast, and angels ministered unto him. And you got to be careful about the Word of God, because it says in Mark 4:15, the ones that are by the wayside, when the Word is sown, and when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the Word that was sown in their hearts. And that Satan has the power to go right into your heart and extract the Word of God. That's why you have to always pray for God to guard your heart, protect your heart. And it's a spiritual thing, you know. So you have to be aware of that. Remember, Satan, I should have put this down in the study, he's the prince of the power of the air. He could actually have you think that you're thinking something that you're not. He could actually put thoughts in your mind of a situation that's not even happening. Or who knows. And then he'll get you to try to believe it. So you have to learn the thoughts that go into your mind. You know, we read so many places in the Bible where Satan causes harm. Like in Luke 13:16, Yeshua was saying this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound for 18 years. Satan bound her for 18 years. Yeshua said he loosed her from this bond on the Sabbath day. So Satan can actually do that to you. That's pretty scary.
Mm-hmm.
18 years being bound. Matthew 9:32, we see there was they brought unto Yeshua a dumb man, and he was possessed with a devil. And that's a scary thought, to be possessed. And when the devil was cast out, of course the dumb spake. And the multitude marvels, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. So here we have a situation where this person was dumb. They couldn't speak, but he was just possessed with the devil. Makes me wonder sometimes. And when Matthew 8:16, there were so many people there possessed with devils, but Yeshua cast out the spirits with his word. And he healed all that was sick. And that's why you should know the word and stand on the word. And this was fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, that himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. That's in Isaiah 53. And when he was come on the other side of the country, of the Gadarenes, they met him too possessed with devils. So don't feel so strange if you meet someone possessed with the devil, coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, these devils had the ability to cry out and talk, saying, "What have we to do with you, Yeshua, Son of God? Are you come hither to torment us before the time?" They knew that that was their due reward there, to be punished. And there was a good way off, a herd of many swine feeding, those swine that are an abomination to God. My wife and I were telling this Amish lady again the other day. This old Amish lady really listens to us. And she was listening to us about the swine, because, you know, I was telling her that I observed that she sells ham. I said, "How could you do that?" And she goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, the Bible says that's an abomination. It makes you so abominable."
We told her it's unhealthy and worms.
Yeah, and we told her about the worms that come out of it and everything. She just looked at us. Anyway, these swine wanted to get out of there, and the devils besought him, saying, If you cast us out, suffer us to go into the herd of swine." So here's all these devils going into a herd of swine. How'd you like to have that kind of sandwich? And he said unto them, "Go," and they went, it says, and when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters.
See, it makes you stupid.
It makes you stupid. Even the pigs went nuts. And they that kept them, the people that actually kept the swine, which is an abomination in Israel, went their ways into the city and told everything that was befallen to the possessed of the devils. It's amazing. They knew that these people were possessed of devils. It's a scary thought. You know, you always think that's just on TV, people being possessed of a devil. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Yeshua. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would... I don't understand. They wanted him to depart out of the coast.
I know.
Coast.
It's always scary. These,
it scared them, you know. Yeah. And these people that were doing something unlawful, having herd of swine, you know, herding swine in Israel, that's an abomination too. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you ever met anyone possessed with the devil. I have. I mean, maybe you have. And that's... Yeah. I remember a lady, my wife and I were telling... We met this lady's daughter, and she was so happy to meet us, and I was so happy she kept the commandments and everything like that. And later we went to an event, and the girl was there, and she was so happy to meet us. You know, it was one of these messianic events that was going on at one of these big churches here in Nashville. And I said, "So happy to meet a young person that keeps the commandments." And she smiled at me, and her little, sweet little mother was right behind her, and she roared at me, and she said, "No one can keep the commandments." And myself, my wife, and the young lady, we all looked at the mother like it wasn't her voice. I could almost hear the devil just jumping right out of her. Mm-hmm. And we all just got away from her. And that was the weirdest thing. That was one of the weirdest things that stayed in my memory. Anyway, Matthew 12:22, they brought unto Yeshua another person that was possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. Wow, blind and dumb. And he healed him. So the devil had this person blind and dumb, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. So this people that were possessed with the devil. Then Yeshua, this is Matthew 15:21. Yeshua went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, crying unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." So this lady knew this. This lady actually knew that. And of course, he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." And he answered and said, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he said unto her, I'm not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to you dogs, you Gentiles. And she said, true, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And that was so humble right there. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean dogs were in the house eating from the table. It just means the crumbs were given later to the dogs. And Yeshua answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. And the daughter was made whole from that very hour. Praise the Lord. And that's just like the Messiah. He just wants to see what's in your heart.
She gonna get mad?
Yeah, she didn't get mad. She was got. She got humbler.
Yeah.
And then I was reading a little earlier to you. Yeshua was encountered by Satan many times.
Yes.
Matthew 4. I read this a little earlier. I want to go into more detail. Then was Yeshua led up in the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Could you imagine that? And when he had fasted 40 days. He was afterward hungered. In other words, when he was weak, the devil came. And the tempter, who is the devil, came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And Yeshua said unto him, it's written, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's all I need, is every word of God to sustain me. And then the devil had the power, check this out, he takes him up into a holy city, I guess spiritually, and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple. Remember, Yeshua's in the wilderness. And said unto him, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. And then the devil actually quotes Psalms, because the devil knows the Bible too. He says in Psalms, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. And Yeshua just looked at him and said, it's written, you're not supposed to tempt the Lord thy God.
That's right.
Yes. Which he is.
So there, Satan.
And then the devil doesn't quit. The devil doesn't quit that easy. So don't think he's going to quit on you too. And the devil had the power again to take him up again into an exceeding high mountain. And shows that he could actually show you the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he says, all these things will I give you if you just fall down and worship me. Even though he doesn't own anything. Yeshua says unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Amen.
Get thee hence, Satan.
Yeah.
Of course, after that, the devil leaves him.
I'm getting nowhere.
Just that thought right there, the devil leaves him. That means that he's allowed, he could come to you and then leave.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all in the spiritual world, which you can't see. And the devil can come in things that you enjoy, people that you think are your friends, your relatives, your, I don't know, whatever is pleasing to you. That's really how he comes.
Mm-hmm.
He never comes as the big drag, you know, guy with the red suit and the horns and everything. The fork. Matthew 17, it says, there was another person that came to him. They were come to the multitude. They came to him, a certain man, kneeling down to him, saying, just think, they came down, kneeling down to the Messiah, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic. He's lunatic and sore vexed. Nowadays, they just throw you in a mental institution and give you drugs, right?
Yeah, lots of drugs.
But this guy was a lunatic. They don't consider maybe he's possessed with a devil. For oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water.
Really?
And I besought your disciples, Yeshua, and they couldn't cure him. And Yeshua answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. I guess he was talking also to his disciples there because they should have done this. Yeshua rebuked the devil. And
my
the
head.
Devil departed out of him and the child was cured from that very hour.
Yeah.
Wow. And of course the disciples wanted to know how come they couldn't get, why couldn't they do it? He said you have to, a lot of prayer and fasting. Mark 1 says, 132, it says that even when the sun did set, they besought him, they brought him unto all that were diseased. So when the sun was setting, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And he healed
Fun
the sick.
Crowd.
What?
Fun crowd.
Yeah.
Diseased and possessed with devils.
But they knew what the remedy was, the healing was. It says, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils. And he suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. He could actually see in spirit. He could probably see something we can't see. Amazing. And I know this for a fact. Satan is the accuser. In the book of Job, we have that the sons of God came to present themselves unto Jehovah, which you do three times a year in the feasts of God. And guess what? Satan can come along. Satan came also among them. And we've had Satan try to interfere with some of our feasts too. And we've had all kinds of things happen over the years because Satan doesn't miss a trick. And Jehovah said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered Jehovah. He actually has the audacity to talk to God and answer him. He says, I go to and fro in the earth, walking down, up and down in it. And I believe he's still doing that today. Mm-hmm. And Jehovah said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil? And then Satan doesn't quit. He goes, Satan answered Jehovah and says, doth Job fear God for naught? He's always trying to slip in there with something. And you know the rest of the Job story, right? However, we go to Revelation chapter 12:10, and it says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength the kingdom of our God and the power of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So this thing, Satan is up there before the throne of God trying to make you look bad all day, all night, trying to accuse you. You did this, you thought that, you did this. And I just thank God for the blood of the Messiah because we don't sin presumptuously or willfully. Ignorantly, we always try to make sure God brings that to our remembrance so we can ask for forgiveness. And Satan can enter your congregation, and he has done that before. Many verses in the Gospels, it says, Yeshua preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils right out of their synagogues.
Yeah.
Luke 4:33, it says, in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. So he's right in the synagogue, and he cried out with a loud voice, and saying, let us alone! Could you imagine that, being in your congregation, some devil? Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Yeshua of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. And this is right in the synagogue, a house of study, you know. Synagogue. Isn't that interesting? A Greek word. And it says right here, and Yeshua rebuked him, saying, hold your peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. You have to have that authority in God. And it's not that amazing, you know, to think about. We've had lots of devils in our congregation over the many years. I'm sure even the people that are still left here, I'm sure you remember some people that were really possessed. Paul tells the Corinthians, he says, to watch out for false apostles, deceitful workers. They actually have the ability to transform themselves into the apostles of Messiah. They could look just like your brother and sister.
Of course.
They could just look like someone that's righteous. He says, don't marvel at that, because Satan himself is trying to transform himself into that angel of light. And if you have a false Bible, he's a liar. The morning star. He's not the morning star. Okay? Therefore, it's no great thing if Satan's ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end is shall be according to their works, of course. But they could look just like ministers of righteousness and messianic rabbis when Yeshua says, Kol Noman Rabbi. And they could be your leader. So be careful. Make sure you line everything up with the Word of God. Satan can even enter you. This was at the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, was drawing nigh. And then, of course, they call the whole thing the Passover. The chief priests and the scribes saw how they might kill Yeshua. And they feared the people, for they feared the people. And at that point, Satan entered into Judas. Satan could enter right into you. If you have no God of Israel in you, and you're just a sinner, Satan can enter into you fully.
You feel like a puppet.
And Judas is a perfect example of being right in the midst of righteous people. He actually was one of the 12 apostles, but he was a devil out of hell. Just like Lucifer, right in the kingdom of heaven. We read last night, he was the covering cherub in the book of Ezekiel. That covereth, that means that protects. He was the covering cherub. And right in the midst of the throne of fire up there, he rounded up his devil, his people that was going to be on his side. Isn't that amazing? They have the power to do that. And God just sits in the back, and he's aware of everything. He just watches to see where you're at. Mm-hmm. We've had people do that to us before. They line up against us, and they try to come against us. And they'll come to naught, and some of them have come to naught. And it's not our desire, it's whatever. The Bible says it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And we believe that. Yeshua said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be you come out as against a thief with swords and staves? He said, I sat daily with you in the temple, and you stretched forth no hands against me. But now, you elders and you priests, phony chief priest, now is your hour and the power of darkness. So there's definitely a power of darkness to beware of. Paul tells the Colossians, for this cause, this is chapter 1, verse 9, for this cause also, since the day you heard of it, and do not cease to pray, we do not cease to pray for you, and please pray for us too, and I'll pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Very important. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father, amen, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us from the power of darkness. And we can see this power of darkness over the world today, you know, and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Hallelujah. Even the forgiveness of sins. And this word of God that became flesh is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Amen.
Amen.
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Praise the Lord, the Word of God. Visible, and then the things that we can't even see, invisible. There's another whole world going on that we can't even see. Whether they be thrones, and this is invisible too, or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Praise the Lord. That is power. Praise the Lord. And I got I was getting my little telescope ready and my big telescope, and my wife and I, we start looking at things on the, we have some programs that we look at the sky and the stars and the galaxies and the constellations and God's universe. Just think, God's universe is, you can't even see how big that is. And that's just something he made. He's not even in that. He's in a whole different place. Everything just works.
Mm-hmm.
By him, all things consist. And then we go to, I wanted to read a little bit about Paul in chapter 26 of Acts, which is, Paul gives reference also. He's with King Agrippa. King Agrippa said unto Paul, "You're permitted to speak for yourself." Then Paul stretched forth his hands and answered for himself, and he said, "I thank you. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know that you to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech you to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, while which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived the Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto whom, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which sake, hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you or anyone that God should raise the dead?"
Yeah, why is that so amazing?
Just because I go around saying Messiah, Yeshua, rose from the dead, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Yeshua the Messiah of Nazareth, which things also I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. So Paul, he's very, very terrible. "And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. Being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them against unto strange cities." So he was an anti-Messiah person at that time. It says, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying unto me in the Hebrew tongue." So God spoke Hebrew to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Don't you know it's hard for you to kick against the pricks? You're going to get pricked back, you know." "And I said unto," of course I said, who are you, Lord? "And he said, I am Yeshua, whom you persecute." Wow. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of these things which you have both seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send you." Praise the Lord. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light." That's what we do when we preach the gospel. "And we deliver them from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, which is in me." Praise the Lord, in Messiah. So, just to know we were delivered out of the power of Satan. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Just think, you might not even recognize that because Satan might have painted a whole picture that you were in this some beautiful big church doing everything you thought for the Lord, and you were just deceived by the devil. And everything, the stage was set, and everything was just going on beautiful. All the big voices singing, and the big choir, and yeah. It's the power of Satan. He's the champion of illusion.
Yeah.
Paul tells the Ephesians, "Finally, my brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord. Don't be weak." So if you're weak, it's your own fault. Pray, fast, read, do things for God. And make sure you do it in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, not just a piece of it, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And again, don't forget this. This is important. Because besides the physical things that are going on, we wrestle not only against flesh and blood, not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers. These are invisible, you can't see. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. You wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's a powerful sentence. That's a frightening thing to think about. Because this could all be happening when it's a beautiful sunny day and you least expect it. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day, and having done all, just to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And that's what we, at our congregation, we're a spiritual forensic detectives. We just want the truth.
Just the truth.
Having on the breastplate of righteousness, and that's the commandments and the Torah and everything of God, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Be always ready to tell someone the truth about the gospel and salvation. And above everything, you better have the shield of faith. You better have a lot of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And faith is something you can't see. It's the evidence of things you can't see, right? And make sure you put on the helmet of salvation. Make sure you know you're saved. And you make sure you have the sword of the Spirit, which we know is the Word of God.
Amen.
Make sure you're always praying with all power and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and long suffering for all saints. And Paul says, as for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Amen. Just think, they had to live by letter to letter, and then by someone showing up by ship or something. There was no planes or cars or emails. Right.
Websites.
No websites to go to. Shalom be unto the brethren in love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Grace, chesed, be unto all them that love our Lord Yeshua the Messiah in sincerity. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this study about Satan is really important. Don't underestimate him. Satan might try to cause you to lie. Be aware. There's a lot of ways to lie. You could exaggerate to people, and that's a lie, right?
Yeah.
You can make up stuff and lie.
Make up stuff.
I remember reading about in Acts chapter 5, what Peter said to Ananias. And Satan can do this. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Satan has the power to fill your heart and to keep back part of the price of the land.
Yeah.
I mean, you own the land. You don't have
to. You didn't have to.
Unnecessary. And of course, his wife was privy to it also. Ananias and Sapphira. And they went down in history as people that lied unto the Holy Spirit, the Ruach. John tells us in the Gospel of John, Yeshua says to these Pharisees and Sadducees, he just got fed up with them and he finally said, "You're of your father, the devil." He could recognize that. And you might be able to recognize that too, children of the devil. And the lust of your father will you do. It says, Yeshua says, the devil, the lust of your father, this is John chapter 8, verse 45, will you do? The devil was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When the devil speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for the devil is a liar and the father of it. And that's why a little lie, and the world tries to make white lie like no big deal, and it's needful. It's of the devil. Children of the devil. Scary thought. In John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief, which is the devil, comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Yeshua says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. He's the good shepherd. You know, Satan can try to stop you too. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 18, Paul says, whereunto we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. He might have did something to the boat or the ship or caused who knows what he could cause. So you got to be, don't be stopped. Beware. Because the great dragon in Revelation 12, 9 was cast out. That old serpent, which is called the devil and Satan, and he's going to deceive the whole world, which is truly happening. The devil was cast out right here to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And now they're in the lake, most of them are in this hell, this prison. Yeah. Revelation 12:12 says, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. That means you and me and of the sea. Woe. The devil has come down unto you having great wrath. So be careful when you think everything's going smooth. There might be something going on that you're not aware of. The devil has great wrath because he knows he has just a short time. That's a scary thought. Just think, there's someone calculating always around you. And I always think of that movie I saw many years ago, The Terminator.
Yeah.
That robot.
Doesn't quit.
It's just relentless. Does not stop. When you're tired, when you're exhausted, he's still coming at you with thoughts, with illusions, with imaginations, with situations, with people, with events. So he does not stop. That's a horrible enemy, isn't it?
It's a horrible enemy.
Yeah, he's persistent.
And this is before the end of the world, Paul tells the Thessalonians, because they thought the Lord was coming back then.
Yeah.
He says, now I beseech you, brethren, 2 Thessalonians 2, by the coming of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah and of our gathering together unto him, don't be shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit or by word or by letter from us, that the day of Messiah is at hand. It's not happening. He's not coming yet. Let no one deceive you by any means. The day of Messiah is not coming until there's going to be a total apostasy of all the true believers. And I hope it's not us. There's going to, except to come a falling away first. So it's not everyone, but some people are going to fall away. And then after that, we're going to see the third temple being built. And we're going to see the man of sin being revealed, the son of perdition. And you're going to see this person, he's going to oppose and exalt himself above all that's ever been of God, that's called God or that is worshipped. So that he as God, he's going to sit in this so-called temple of God and show himself that he's God. Wow. He's going to try to do what he tried to do in the kingdom of heaven. This is at the very end too. And Paul says, remember you not when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. I want to just let you know, the mystery of iniquity already works. Only he who now lets will let until be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. The wicked is going to be revealed, whom the Lord is going to consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. He's not in the secret chambers. He's not in Jerusalem. He's not in the millennial reign. He's not hanging out anywhere. He comes with clouds. So he's going to destroy this devil with the brightness of his coming. And this devil is going to be coming, even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, which means you're going to think you're looking at something. And you better double check, because it's going to be a lying wonder. He's going to come with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, only because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Just think of that. Those words are really powerful. I mean, he's going to come with all power, all signs, and lying wonders, all deceivableness of unrighteousness. No wonder why he's going to deceive the whole world. He'll probably try to shower upon the world peace and blessing.
Yeah. Fake peace.
For this cause, God's going to send them strong delusion.
Well,
and that comes from the book of Isaiah. Mm-hmm. That they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Book of Isaiah says, God says, I'll choose your delusions. Yeah. Because when I called, you refused, of course. When I spoke, you didn't hear. And Paul says, he always tries to comfort everybody at the end. He says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had chosen you from the beginning. God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. What is that? Is that a devil screaming?
No, it's just probably sirens. Somebody must have had a wreck.
Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, our Lord Yeshua the Messiah himself and God, even our Father, which had loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. Anyway, I was telling you, as I started the study, there's many verses of people possessed with devils, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Matthew 8, Yeshua was coming to Peter's house. Peter had a house. They all didn't live in a commune. Some people think they all just lived in a commune. Peter had his own house with his own wife.
Mm-hmm.
When he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever, he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And cool. She arose and ministered unto them. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
This is Peter's wife's, Matthew 8, 14 and 15.
In other words, his mother-in-law.
Yeah.
All mother-in-laws are not dead.
When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick.
All.
And that, of course, was fulfilled by Isaiah. Amen. Matter of fact, he even cast out 7 devils out of Mary Magdalene in Mark 16:9. When Yeshua was risen early the first day of the week, known as Sunday, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast 7 devils. Just think, she must have been really wicked.
Yeah.
1 Timothy 3:6, people that raise themselves up and that are just novices, they can be lifted up with pride and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Because pride is of the devil.
Pride is of the devil.
That's 1 Timothy 3:6. You don't want to fall into condemnation of the devil. You should have a good report of them that are without, lest you will fall into reproach and snare of the devil. And I try to do that. I keep my license fresh with the Minister of the Criminal Justice Center, and I try to I have a good report of them that are without, out the body of Messiah. I try to make sure people know about me so I don't fall into the reproach and snare of the devil. Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And we've seen that happen. First, it's 1 Timothy 4:1. giving heed to seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils. Nowadays on POW Talk, there's so many doctrines of devils, and on the internet, there's so many doctrines of devils. Matter of fact, some people don't even believe in the devil anymore.
Yeah,
the devil's just a metaphor.
A lot to believe.
Some people, the devil said there's no more
that's
lake
true.
Of fire.
Yep.
A lot of Bibles, there's no more hell. There's no more lake of fire.
Yeah.
You just burn out.
Burn out.
You just burn like out. Isn't that nice?
Like a cigarette.
So a lot of people are giving heed to these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And these are damnable heresies. Mm-hmm. Damnable heresies. 2 Timothy 2:26. Paul hopes that you recover. Paul wants you to recover yourself out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So if you're so weak and so spiritually frail, the devil can come and just get you. In the letter to the Hebrews, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Messiah also likewise took part of the same, that through death, through Messiah's death, he might destroy the devil that has power of death, that is the devil. Just think, the devil has power to kill you if Messiah wasn't around. And I know that for a fact, because that so many times when I left my subdivision here, if I didn't stop and keep the laws of the land and pray to God all the time, that one car would have wiped me out. Just make sure you keep praying.
God told the devil he couldn't kill the
Job. Right.
What was that?
God told the devil he
couldn't kill
Job. Oh, the devil couldn't kill Job. No. When the people of God, there's no divination against us. The people of God, there's the people of the God of Israel. There's no divination. There's no witches that can do anything to us, or warlocks, or satanic people. You can't do anything to us. You know, if you believe there's one God, you do well, James says. The devils believe also and tremble. They are trembling. And I don't know, that we read that sentence so lightly, but I just imagine spiritually, just imagine a whole bunch of spiritual devils just trembling because they know their time is short. Peter says in chapter 5, be sober. We are. Be vigilant spiritually and physically nowadays. You have to walk circumspectly for sure. You know why? You have an adversary. And that's the devil. He's as a roaring lion. He walks about. He goes to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it, seeking whom he may devour. Whoa.
Those are big, too.
It says, wherefore resist. You better resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Whom resist, you better resist the devil. 1 John 3:8 says, if you commit sin, you're of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning. Isn't that interesting? The devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that Yeshua might destroy the works of the devil. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whoso does not righteousness is not of God, obviously. Neither he that loves not his brothers and sisters. Amen. That's why you all have to have mercy on each other and pray for each other. Matthew 13. I want you to hear a parable of the sower. Yeshua says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, so when you're preaching the gospel, you can almost look at people's physical countenance and watch their body language, because you could see them starting to jerk around. You know why? When they understand it not, then comes the wicked one, Satan, and catcheth away that which was sown in their hearts. Wow. You can go right into their heart and pull it out. This is he that was received seed by the wayside. But he that receives a seed into stony places, excuse me. Yes, let me have a drink. Let me have a little drink here. It says, but he that receives seed into stony places, same as he that hears the word, and anon with joy receives it. However, they have no root in themselves, and they just endure for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises for the word, obviously, by and by, they're offended. They can't wait to get offended. He that receives seed among the thorns is the ones that they hear the word. However, the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. That's ridiculous. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that hears the word, understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Isn't that beautiful? Then he put forth another parable. So this is the second parable. And he says unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. But when the men slept, his enemy, the devil, came and sowed tares, children of the devil, among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Why does it then have tares? He said unto them, an enemy had done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? He said, no. Lest while you're gathering up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together unto the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather ye first the tares. Gather first the tares. Who's going first?
The tares.
The tares. So all the left behind series are all a lie.
Oops.
Gather first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barns. And then he puts another parable forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Amen. Which indeed is the least of all seeds. You ever see, we had that little jar of mustard seeds, a little tiny thing. But when it's grown, it becomes the greatest among herbs. Mustard is an herb. It's the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And then he says another parable unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Amen. And all these things he did to them, he spoke to them in parables. And without his parables, spoke he not unto them. And he did that the prophecy of Isaiah might be fulfilled. I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So here we have like 4 different scenarios of the kingdom of heaven. And then Yeshua sent the multitude away, and went into the house. He had a house too, I guess. And his disciples came unto him, saying, you know, out of all these parables, can you declare unto us the parable of the tares, which are the children of the wicked one, of the field? He answered and said unto him, he that sowed good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the whole world. The tares are the children of the wicked one, Satan. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. He broke down the whole parable to them. As therefore the tares, which are the children of the wicked one, Satan, are gathered and burned in the fire first, so shall be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels and shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. Yes. Anything that offends and does iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth, which is never going to end. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And I hope you have a spiritual ear to hear. And you know what's nice about the Bible? We know the end of the story, right? You've heard that before, right? Revelation 20:10. The devil, the old serpent, the great dragon that deceived them, the ones that are going to receive this mark of the beast and this mark and this whole one world system and this one world everything. The devil that deceived them was cast into a lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Which I know some people don't like that anymore, so the Bibles have changed it. There's no more forever. There's no more devil. It's just a metaphor. There's no more hell. There's no more lake of fire. There's no more torments. And John says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And then John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and you hope your name is in it, and those books are the books of the Bible. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to your works. According to your works.
Some people don't get it.
And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every person, according to their works. So everyone should have some, you better do something for God in your lifetime, besides keeping all the commandments and the feasts and the holy days, and you're going to be judged according to your works. Listen to this. And death and hell, no more death. Death and hell are going to be cast into the lake of fire, whatever that means. This is the second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life, which even Moses knew about, if you're not found in the book of life, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire forever. Wherever that is, in a spiritual domain that we can't even see or imagine. Whew. So don't underestimate Satan. He's after you. But also be assured that you have the full armor of God, and make sure you have it on. Make sure you do everything God wants. 'Tis the season to be pagan, so watch out. Beware of that false image of love. Beware of the false feelings and emotions that are flowing. These pagan feasts bring on loneliness, depression, suicide, murder, death, killing, and of course debt. You'll be troubled. Xmas is coming again, so be careful.
Yep, it is.
At once upon a time, Xmas was banned in 1659 in America.
Yeah.
Xmas.
That's what it is.
And just remember, even if we don't do pagan holidays, we don't go around killing people if they don't, you know. That's ridiculous. We don't care what people do. We're not going to do it. That's one thing that's important to make sure you let everyone know. Well, anyway, that's the end of my study here. I hope you had something hit you out of this. Beware. And I'm not trying to give Satan any glory here or any power, but make sure you know who you're dealing with. He's an adversary. Just think, if Satan could actually deceive angels that are in the kingdom of heaven, what do you think he could do to flesh? So be careful. Anyway, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for another Shabbat. We thank you for the study and to bring to our consciousness, our minds again, who we're up against. And we know, Father, if we're with you, we have it made, Father. We know because you're our Father and we're your children. And we keep your commandments and we do what you tell us and what you say. We pray, Lord and God, that you'll open a door for us to have a congregation again and give us our website back and make us do more and more for you with all these people that are just waiting. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint the rest of the Shabbat. Bless the singing, the food, and let everyone here adhere to your word and your commandments and your statutes and your ordinances, your testimonies. And I thank God for the blood of Yeshua, the salvation that's wrought through the sacrifice, through the Messiah himself, knowing that one day soon you will return in someone's lifetime after all these things transpire. Help everyone, protect everyone, put a wall of fire around everyone, and let everyone, Lord and God, now seek you and knock, and the door will be opened. And I thank God for everything that you do for us, knowingly and unknowingly. Heavenly Father, move us, direct us, lead us, guide us, and direct us in right paths, with right decision, right discernment. And I thank God for the blood of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. God bless you, and may God be with you.
Amen.
And I'm going to stop the video, and may God bless you. Amen.
Can you send a study to James and them?
I stopped that. Let me stop.